I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. It was about the N-word. The N-word. Very, very informative. I went in depth about the backstory of the word. As I said on that podcast, there's going to always be someone talking about it from both sides. But from an educational standpoint, it's important for people to know the history of that word and how it transcends so much of America, for better or for worse. And the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if you haven't heard it, get on over to podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me at iTunes under the category Personal Journals. And you can find me on Twitter at We Ain't Scared and also at Ferocious Talk. As I said, the website weaintscared.com should be back online in the next week or so. Just undergoing some renovations and reconstruction, so we're excited about that. And ferociousforflint.com, definitely you can get over and you can check that out, you know, upcoming shows. And while we're talking about that, we had some conversations internally, business, and what we decided to do was we want to combine the Detroit show with the Flint show. So the best way to do it is we're going to have one big show on Saturday, July 29th in the city of Flint. And this is our Ferocious for Flint finale. Ferocious for Flint finale. There's going to be some more details coming up on that. But yeah, look forward to Saturday, July 29th. It's going to be held at the University of Flint, Michigan. And we want everybody in the city to come out. This is for you. This is the final stop. We started last August, and now we are wrapping it up. And so definitely look out for more details related to that. Black Lives Matter. Please keep doing what you're doing. All right. As I say on every podcast, the only thing that movement has ever claimed is to make relevant that Black life matters, period. That's it. Not more important, not less important. We simply matter. Now, if people can't get behind that, especially if you're Black, there's a problem. You've been brainwashed, whitewashed into believing that your own life, it has no value beyond whatever America determines that it is. Well, that's not acceptable for me. All right. My pound of flesh is worth the exact same amount as your pound of flesh. So you're going to, you know, you need to value it. And I'm going to keep telling you, you need to value it until you do. All right. So let's go ahead and turn the page a little bit and let's talk about today's topic. And as usual, I have quite a few notes, but it is called The Big White Lie of Give It Time. The Big White Lie of Give It Time. So some things to sort of address here. We all grew up with, you know, our parents or, you know, someone in our family that says, well, it's just a little white lie. You know, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just a little white lie, right? The continuation of white being innocent and not harmful, right? And then the big white lie of give it time. Let me just kind of speak a little off script here, you know, just for a second. You know, I've been doing this podcast for over a year, and I love every single minute of it. And I think what I'm hoping comes out of this, because you always hope for certain things, is that people that listen, they really do understand that Black people are not just complaining for the sake of complaining. We're not out here getting upset just for the sake of it. There's no other group on the planet that even comes close to needing the type of love and attention that Black people need. And I mean that in this way. The abuse and the abuses and the atrocities and the horrors of Black history in America it disturbs me that we have to fight so vehemently, so aggressively to get people to sympathize with us and our pain. That really, it hurts, right? If I got to be honest, it hurts. And it hurts on a deep level and in an emotional level that is it eats at the core of your being, because what it does is it diminishes your own self-reflection of your own humanity. You know, maybe I'm not worth that, right? Maybe I'm, you know, if they're working so hard to ignore it and they're working so hard not to address it or be accountable, you know, there's some Black people in America that may start to really believe that they're not worth the time. And this is the reason why I get on this mic every week, because I want those people to understand you are not only you valuable, not only are you important, but it's necessary that you ignore and block out as much as possible those messages, because it comes from the other side in a very insecure space. Yeah, I try to reiterate, people are jealous of Black people. They're jealous, and they'll never come out and say it. They're jealous of our strength. They're jealous of our charisma. They're jealous of our ability to outsmart, outthink, to outmaneuver, out-engineer. They still don't know how those pyramids were built by these Black Egyptians over 3,000 years ago. Still don't know, okay? Our feats of athleticism are unmatched, unparalleled in the world. We just finished up the NBA Finals. 90% of the players on both teams were Black, right? With an audience that was 90% white, right? And that is, it's striking to me. Right. It is striking how we can absolutely positively come together on a sports level and be a kumbaya. Everybody's, cheering and screaming. But when you go out into the streets, somehow, you know, we're animals. You know, we're less than if we're not, as long as or as soon as our ability to entertain you is over and it's done, then you have no use for us. And that is the problem. Because the same cheering that goes on in the football stands and the basketball courts and seats, those same cheers should be here or should be heard by white America towards Black people out in the streets. They should be cheering. Because guess what? The next LeBron or the next Steph Curry or they could get shot in the street. And you'll never get to witness their greatness. You'll never get to witness their talent. So I'm a little bit off script, but I had to say that it was something that was on my heart. So I'm going to jump on into the program. The world wants us to believe that slow progress is good progress, or slow progress is better than no progress. Now, to be honest, and this is a real situation, I've had white men tell me, to my face, after I have taken literally hours out of my day to explain race and racism in America and why Black Americans are still suffering at the hands of white America. And at the end of that discussion, their only solution, their only response, it was, well, you just got to give it time. As if 400 years, right, of ignoring it is not enough. Or they'll say, well, you just have to wait. Or in time, things will change. See, it's always in time, right? But nobody ever tells you when does that time start, right? Okay, fine. So you want it to be in time, but when does the clock actually start? Because after 400 years, that clock is either broke, lost, missing. You need to find it, APB, get out, find something, right? So, and as I said earlier, as if 400 years isn't enough time. So let's do this. I love giving examples, right? Why don't you give me the keys to your car? Okay. I'll take over your six-figure job. I'll sleep with your wife, raise your kids, put you out on the street and see how you feel about hearing, give it time. Or, you know, just wait, you know, things will get better. Don't worry about it, Chad. You're fine. You know, just keep a stiff upper lip. You're going to be good. See, then all of a sudden you get the clarity that you don't want us to have. You know, you have this instant understanding about what you will and will not tolerate or accept. See, when it's you, then it's completely different. Okay. It's as if at the same time, we don't possess that ability, right? The worst thing white people can do when they hear something that they cannot do anything about is say just that, wait, you know, just give it time, just hold on, right? Well, okay, we waited through slavery, right? We waited through Jim Crow, civil rights, the Obama administration, the current administration, which is, oh my God, I could spend years on that. But anyway, racism does not cure itself. It's a disease that needs constant attention. It's like cancer. Cancer does not cure itself, okay? It doesn't cure itself by a doctor telling the patient, one, well, just give it time. You know, it'll clear up on its own. Just wait. Things will get better in time. I don't worry about that chemo. Don't worry about, you know, any of these treatments that, you know, this invasive surgery to extract this cancerous cell or growth in your body. You know, you look at that doctor like they were psychotic, right? And you should. Now, in 2017, we are past the point of simple acceptance of be patient. There's a subversive and overt race war that is going on, and being patient is not the answer. It's not the solution. Confronting the racist before they can do any harm to you is the way forward. And a lot of people are intimidated by confrontation. And what really disturbs me about that is if, you know, if you're a parent and someone was attacking your child, right? You took them to the park or the playground and you were with another adult and you guys were having a good conversation. You have to look out of the corner of your eye and there was some adult jumping on your child, attacking them. You wouldn't hesitate for an instant to jump up, run over there and beat whatever life was left out of that person that was attacking your child. And why we don't see ourselves in that same light of importance is a problem, right? America, society, the things that are coming at us, that they are jumping on us to attack us, to hurt us, to kill us. And that response of, wait a minute, I'm going to defend myself. I'm going to protect the things that I love. If you don't love yourself more than anybody else, there's a problem. And there's nothing wrong with parents loving themselves more than their children. I think people think, well, you know, no, I have to love my kids more than myself. Well, you have to first love yourself to take care of yourself to be able to take care of the kids. Because if you didn't love yourself, you didn't take care of yourself, you couldn't take care of the kids. It doesn't diminish the love that you have for them. And my point about that is this: if you don't take the stance of confronting confrontation to tell somebody, no, you're out of line, and stop it, or there are going to be some consequences for yourself. You know, if you don't do that for yourself, I should say, then who else is going to? I mean, think about that. Nobody else is going to be jumping up to stand up and fight for you. You got to do it first for yourself in order for other people to say, oh, that's important to them. Oh my goodness. Wow. That really upset them. That really got them. Yes. You doggone Skippy. It did. And don't be ashamed of that. Confronting the racist before they can do any harm to you is the way to deal with it. So when you hear me say on this show, we ain't scared, it's more than just a slogan. It truly is a lifestyle. The things that we have to confront as Black people in this world are they are the dragons, the monsters that that America created, that they continue to allow to run unchecked, right, to our detriment. So we cannot be scared. We can't be afraid to deal with it and face it. We didn't create the monsters, right, that are attacking us, but we darn well are going to fight them and we're going to win because we ain't scared. You know, I ain't afraid to confront you if you step out of line. I'm not. I ain't afraid to confront your racist joke, Bill Maher. I ain't afraid to call you a racist to your face. Confront. Call it. It's like dealing with a bully. I ain't afraid to stand in your face and tell you that your mentality or how you do business is wrong and it oppresses people. Flint, Michigan, the politicians, state government, state politics, the U.S. government, you're oppressing people. Clean water, that's your job. You had one job. One. You had one job. Make sure people have clean water and you muffed it up. So I'm going to tell you, and it has been determined it was based on racism because they wouldn't have done that, or that would not have happened if it was an all-white neighborhood, rich, wealthy, white neighborhood. I ain't afraid to tell a city, state, or federal government that they have racist policies. as I said earlier, We Ain't Scared seeks to help people find the courage to speak up and stand up in situations where you might ordinarily be passive. Please don't be passive, people. Don't be passive or act as if the blatant disrespect is not happening. The worst thing you can do is you can be in a meeting or in a group or in a setting. You might be the only Black person there and a comment is made and people are flippant about it and they act as if, you know, it's not hurtful or harmful and you let it fly. You let it go. No, very easily. Hey, whoa. That was out of line. Why did you make that comment? That was way out of line. And I'm not going to tolerate it. And you need to stop it. I mean, you need to call people on their mess. You need to call them on it. The lie of give it time does nothing more than pacify and allow the hatred and oppressive policies to get stronger, while the white men behind these policies have no real intention of helping the Black people they claim that time will help. It is beyond time to start calling lies lies. If you recognize truth and call it truth, then why are we afraid to call someone who happens to be white a liar? We have a real problem with calling someone who's white a liar. We really do. It's almost like we're afraid of hurting their feelings. But we'll call a Black person a liar, anybody else a liar. But when it comes to white people, for some reason, we really as Black people have a problem telling them to their face, you're a liar, you know, or you're racist. And we got to stop doing that. We have to stop being afraid, right? You got to protect yourself. There's this misplaced fear and intimidation about offending white people. Like somehow they're concerned about you. They're not. Okay. And some people say, well, I don't have to be concerned about it. Well, you need to be concerned because if my emotional and mental well-being is not stable, it could negatively impact you. So yeah, you do need to be concerned the same way I need to be concerned about you. It's a two-way street. Now don't get me wrong. All right. Now there are some good white folk, as they say, left in the world. And I've said that before, but those white folk ain't running around. They're not running corporate America, private prisons, inner city juvenile detention centers, and police departments. The biggest mistake Black people make or can make is to be intimidated. Do not be intimidated. The one thing we can control no matter what is our voice. Our voice. Don't voluntarily silence your own voice because you're afraid to offend a white voice that had no real intentions of helping you anyway. The true helpful white voices will speak up and you will know without a doubt because they will be saying you are right when you criticize the white establishment and how it mistreats Black people and minorities. Give It Time has torn Black families apart for generations. Not one person can point to anything in America that oppresses white people and disenfranchises white people. And they had to hear or deal with Give It Time. There's nothing. There's absolutely no oppression of white people. We know that. So, dear Black people, don't fall asleep. Don't go for the trick of time will fix racism. People caused racism by actively practicing it daily. So, it will take people actively fighting it daily to change it. Don't fall for the white lie, the big white lie of give it time. This is not a luxury we can afford. It's time for things to change now. And we can't wait another second, another minute, or another hour. How about that for time? Well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.